Atsuko from Shonen Life, and you are listening to WMFO in Medford, 91.5 FM.
I don't like you, and I'm gonna beat you up.
This is Doc V. I'm in the studio tonight doing a sub. This will be office hour with Doc V. Professor Huxpin is not here. He might roll up later. I'm here with some esteemed guest. Justin, say hello.
Hello, everyone.
Ethan, say hello.
Yeah, this is Ethan, a.k.a. DJ Shellcaller. Happy to be back in the studio.
We've also got Coral. Coral, say hello.
Hello.
Oops. That was not Coral. I apologize. I will deal with that. Again, I'm new to this. We've got some great tunes coming up for you, and we'll do a few talking segments here and there. Coming up, I thought we'd play a little Marvin Gaye, Sexual Healing.
Mmm. What do you want me
to do? All right, like I said earlier, I'm here in the studio today with Justin Hudson. He's a very wise man. He's kind of like, you know, someone that you'd climb a mountaintop to go see at the top. The guru who'd provide you with all the answers. Justin, I want you to, you know, drop some knowledge on us. Give us some insight.
What kind of life advice? What kind of life advice do you want, Andy?
Let's say romance.
Romance? Mm. What about romance? What are you having issues with?
I'm just saying, just like dealing with the ladies. What are your insights, you know?
I would say number one tip for lady is you want to get along with her friends, right? So always hit on her friends when you're around them. Show you get along with them.
Solid, solid. Ethan, you want to weigh in on that? What are your thoughts? It's always good to, you know, have a counter.
Have a second opinion. I think that's one of those things you just have to try and see how it goes.
Try it on for size.
I can't say I've ever hit on the friends of a girl that I'm interested in. I imagine if I did, it would be terrible for me. But if you're so inclined, you can try it out.
I'd imagine that the girl's not going to take that. And coming up, we're not going to take it. By Twisted Sister.
Beautiful.
Justin, I'm just a poor boy from a poor family. Nobody loves me. What do I do?
Well, step one, I would say learn to love yourself. So go to a hall of mirrors somewhere, you know, with the wacky mirrors, and just, you know, make out of your reflection a little bit. Learn to love yourself, Andy.
All right, coming up, we've got a very special song that has a lot of significance to me, Ethan, and Coral, Bohemian Rhapsody.
Can we sing along with it?
Absolutely.
Beautiful.
Caught in a landslide, no escape from reality. Open your eyes, look up to the skies and see. I'm just a poor boy, I need no sympathy. Because I'm easy come, easy go, little high, little low. Anyway the wind blows, doesn't really matter to
will you do the fandango? Thunderbolt and lightning, very, very frightening me.
Galileo, Galileo,
Galileo Figaro,
Magnifico.
I'm just a poor boy, nobody loves me.
He's just a poor boy from a poor family. Spare him his life from this monstrosity.
Easy come, easy go, will you let me go?
Bismillah, no, we will not let you go.
Let him go.
Mamma mia,
mamma mia, let me go.
Beelzebub has a devil put aside for me, for me, for me.
So you think you can stop me and spit my eyes? So you think you can love me and leave me to baby, just gotta get out.
matters to me.
Listeners have ever heard of the phrase DIFS, but it stands for Do It For The Story. Ethan, you said you have a story to share.
I would love to share my primary example of when I embodied DIFS. So, the summer between my sophomore and junior year of high school, I went on a trip to Israel. It was a program with 100 American teenagers and 30 Israeli teenagers. It was a fantastic experience. And one of the first or second days we were in Israel, we did this this tourist site where you go through these ancient tunnels that that basically people constructed to get in and out of the city in secret. The tunnels are now half submerged in water, so you can walk through them, but there's water to up about your thighs. And I'd been to those tunnels twice before. Both times I'd had to go an alternate route, which didn't involve water, because at those times in the year, the water was just too high to go through. And this was the first time that I'd been to the tunnels and decided to go through the water route. And so we're on our way towards the tunnels, and about 10 minutes before we enter them, I get the urge to urinate. I have to pee. But I figured, hey, here I am. I'm 14, 15 years old. Really want to try the water route, and you know, I can survive this. I can push through. So we go into the tunnels, and as soon as my feet become submerged in water, I knew I had made a terrible mistake. Now, keep in mind, these tunnels are shoulder width apart, so you can only walk in single file lines. Your shoulders are pretty much rubbing against the walls the entire way. And normally what happens when you go through these tunnels is pretty quick. It takes, you know, 15 minutes, 20 minutes tops. But we had three or four groups in front of us who must have just comprised of senior citizens and tortoises, because they were moving so incredibly slowly. And after half an hour in the tunnel, it had just become so brutal that I needed to relieve myself. I couldn't hold it in any longer. It was too painful. And so I was walking in front of a new friend that I had just made, and directly behind the tour leader, so the person who works in those tunnels. And I didn't know what to do except for go for it. And so they had given each of us on the trip something called a camelback. If you don't know what that is, it's a backpack that has a water bladder in it, and it has a little straw that goes through the arm strap that you can drink out of. So I took off my camelback, and I unscrewed the cap of the bladder, and that's where I urinated. I urinated into my camelback. And while I was doing so, the tour leader in front of me turns around, sees what I'm doing, and just whips back in the other direction, doesn't acknowledge it whatsoever. My newly made friends behind me are either cracking up or absolutely disgusted. It was humiliating, but finally, we get out of the tunnels. I feel so much better. The first thing I do is I run to the nearest bathroom, and it's a single-person bathroom, and it's kind of like almost an outhouse. And I go in, and I just dump the contents of my camelback into the toilet. I think it was about a liter and a half. I really had to go. And of course, dumping a liter and a half of liquid into more liquid creates a very loud splashing sound. And so I emerge from the bathroom, and one of the girls who is in my group for the remainder of the summer is standing there with this awestruck look on her face. Like, what living creature could make such a sound in the bathroom? And that was my introduction to the trip, to my friends. They're lifelong friends. I'm still in touch with them. We still laugh about it. It was a story to remember, but my thoughts while I was urinating into my camelback were, this is going to make one hell of a story. So I did it for the story.
What a tale.
What a good way to make friends.
I don't know if I'd say that much, but...
Justin, do you have anything to share, or Coral? Any diffs that come to mind?
Do you?
Nothing on the level of Ethan's. That was quite a story. I'm curious what the camelback company thought.
Same,
of this.
The real question, though.
So the most lucky I've ever gotten was 3 days later when they replaced our camelbacks, because most of the ones that we had gotten had some sort of malfunction, like they were breaking really easily or something like that, so they got us all new ones. And of course, I went back and I washed it thoroughly, but I don't think I ever drank out of that again, and so I was very, very grateful when we had our camelbacks replaced a few days later.
Is that camelback still over there in Israel? Is some poor tourist using that camelback today?
No. They are not to be reused, especially that one. That one's most likely in a landfill somewhere, which is good. That's where it belongs.
Probably for the best.
Yeah.
I was thinking of a time a while back. I went through a pretty bad pyromaniac phase, me and my friends, and what we do. Fireworks are technically illegal in Colorado, but they're not in neighboring Wyoming. So that one summer, when I first got my license, we drove up to Wyoming, and we bought highly illegal, very powerful fireworks, and we drove back. And my friend, near his house, there was this construction site. And at the construction site, there was this porta potty. And that summer. We spent so much time at night at this construction site throwing massive fireworks into this porta potty and just watching it go up in flames. It was pretty bad. One night we got the cops called on us and they rolled up and they thought it was really funny, so they let us off.
That's hilarious.
So that's one of my fondest memories, honestly. It's just standing just there, just being stupid,
porta potty
throwing mortars into a porta potty. Good times, good times.
Loving it.
Coming up, I thought we'd play a little Maggot Brain by Funkadelic. Here comes.
I just saw True Story.
Mother Earth is pregnant for the third time, for y'all have knocked her up. I have tasted the maggots in the mind of the universe. I was not offended, for I knew I had to rise above it all or drown in my own shit.
That was Maggot Brain by Funkadelic. Eddie Hazel, the guitarist for Funkadelic, rolled up to the studio that day, and he was told to play like his mama had just died. And he did it. He killed it. Justin, you have a fun story that you'd like to share, yes?
Kind of a funny story. Not as good as Ethan's probably, but, you know, I was around 9 or 10 years old, you know, winter. Decided to go sledding, you know, nice little winter activity for a child. So there's this big hill near the house I'm living in. Pretty large, maybe 300-400 feet long, like really massive hill. Only issue is that about a third of the way down is an electric fence, and behind that a bunch of cows. I was like, you know, maybe I can just slide right under the fence and just avoid the cows and just kind of get a good ride down the hill. Well, the first part worked out. I slid right under that fence, no problems. Issue was, when I stopped, I was right next to the giant herd of cows, and they were very, very angry at me for waking them up. So, next thing I know, I am running for my life from a stampede of cows in the middle of 1 foot of snow. I've never ran that fast in my life. I am afraid. And I just dive over that fence and just keep running. Left my sled there, never got it back.
That's incredible, man. I have never been chased by stampeding cattle. Ooh. That's something. Coral, I feel like we need some insights from you.
You've been skipping me for the entire night, Andy.
I know. I've been lagging in the coral department. That was pretty harsh there, Coral.
That's fine. I mean, it's not fine for you. All right. Anyways, as a kid, 4 years old, I know I'm allergic to mangoes because I had the worst rash in my life in my kindergarten when my mom fed me a whole mango, although like a small one. That was when I know I could not eat mango for my life. But when I was 14 years old in middle school, I tried a piece of mango from my friend's birthday cake and nothing happened to me. So I thought, whoa, I was fine. I got out of this. So in a garden in my middle school, there was like a mango tree. And just after midterm, there was like fresh mango on the tree. And some stuff had been falling off, you know, their mango getting ready to be fed. And then I picked one up. I was like, yeah, let's like try some of this mango from my school. And I used my Swiss knife, where I carry around when I was middle school. I have no idea why, to cut off the mango.
Angst, that's why.
And had some, a little bit, like literally a little bit, no bigger than like a dollar size. And the following night was the worst night of my life. Just got back to when I was 4 years old, having an incredible rash and itchy face, and thought I was going to destroy my entire cara. And
that sounds awful.
Yes. And yeah.
Terrible. Coming up, I thought we'd play a little Johnny Cash. Since Justin is a big fan, I'm a huge fan myself.
He's a great man.
True American, honestly. Red-blooded American. Here comes. I hung my head, Johnny Cash.
Early one morning, with time to kill, I borrowed Jeb's rifle and sat on the hill. I saw a lone rider crossing the plain. I drew a bead on him to practice my aim. My brother's rifle went off in my hand. A shot rang out across the land. The horse he kept running, the rider was dead. I hung my head, I hung my head. I set off running to wake from the dream. My brother's rifle went into the sheen. I kept on running into the Southlands. That's where they found me, my head in my hands. The sheriff, he asked me, why had I run? And then it came to me,
just what I had done, and all for no reason, just one piece of lead. I hung my head, I hung my head. Here in the courthouse, the whole town was there. I see the judge high up in his chair. Explain to the courtroom what went through your mind, and we'll ask the jury what verdict they find. I felt the power of death over life. I orphaned his children, I widowed his wife. I beg their forgiveness, I wish I was dead. I hung my head, I hung my head, I hung my head, I hung my head. Early one morning, with time to kill, I see the gallows up on the hill, and out in the distance, a trick of the brain. I see a lone rider crossing the plain, and he come to fetch me to see what they done, and we'll ride together till kingdom come. I pray for God's mercy, 'cause soon I'll be dead. I hung my head, I hung my head, I hung my head, I hung my head.
All right, Coral, we have a song request from you, right?
Yes.
The song is?
The song is called The Way by Fastball.
What is the personal story that you'd like to tell behind it?
So, this song was introduced to me by my high school English professor, who is a Louisiana native that came to China to support our great cause of an education. And throughout my senior year, he helped me a lot, and my friends, who was in the class a lot, he invited us to dinner and treated us as kids. He was always saying, you know, you guys are my family, and it was a great pleasure to, like, always have been, you know, having Southern food, you know, is always the best thing of my week. And on the last day of class, he played that song for us, and he was like, so before me and my wife, he loved his wife a lot, left for China, he plays a song for his five kids, and as a symbol of their journey to China, where they soon made home. But he hoped that his kids will hold up and more people will come into the family. And it was a beautiful song. So I suggest Andy to play it. And
here comes The Way by Fastball. That's an incredibly sweet story. Thank you, Coral.
Available only at the kitchen.
Loaded. Turn. There's no other.
Okay.